League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number three, live right here on this Tuesday on the early line on Sports Grid. It is our third and final. That is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. Plenty to get to here in this third and final hour. The championships, Wimbledon, continue into the quarterfinal round as we speak. Oh, we've got a little bit of a match brewing here between Taylor Fritz and Karen Khachanov, Donnie's favorite male tennis player. Karen Khachanov. I learned how to say that yesterday and speaking to our producer extraordinaire who is enjoying this week of vacation, Joe Friso. Karen Khachanov, though, has rallied back. Fritz up 2-1, but Khachanov has taken a 2-0 lead here in the fourth set, and Fritz at one point greater than a $5 live money line favorite is now just -185. One of our two American men into the quarterfinal round. Ben Shelton will play Jannik Sinner tomorrow. Sinner advancing, of course, in dramatic fashion yesterday as that one seed trailing by two sets after the opening two sets, as Grigor Dimitrov did have to retire, sadly, once again, due to a pectoral injury. We'll talk the championships, Wimbledon, with Kenny Ducey up next, we hope, here on the early line. And then from the brilliant baseball mind of one Donnie Wrightside, it's a full slate Tuesday breakdown all around MLB throughout this third and final hour.
Yeah, get some good spots in there. By the way, you should have done the right thing. Like, you're down the two sets here. At least if you're going to retire, say, you know what? You're going to get my paycheck because you have me beat. I'll move on. Here's my paycheck, you know. Nice, nice. I heard he was very complimentary. Probably loved the fact that the guy actually retired during that match as opposed to handing out. Now, what happens if you go on and win this? Like, you were dead to rights and you got like a second, you know, chance at this point. And also, you didn't have to fight back, so you saved a lot of energy. Like, sometimes when, like, tennis players get injured, like, they can't just play the next match. It's like, hey, you got a freebie, but not only get the win, like, you don't have to play 5 hours in the heat and then play again like 2 days later. That's a big advantage.
Heat is all relative, even in Britain during these summer months. But yes, I do see the point. Jannik Sinner, who had to then speak post-match yesterday, which they do on the court to the winner, said, I do not count this as a win. And it's clear that Sinner and Dimitrov are pretty good buddies, despite the fact that Sinner is only 23. Dimitrov more of a vet at 34 years old, and just felt sad for that competition coming to a close in the way it did. You could say for sure, DRS, that Jannik Sinner was getting outplayed heavily by Grigor Dimitrov and was probably on his way of being upset, where he has not been great at Wimbledon. He has won the Australian Open. He has won the United States Open to win some slams in the early portion of his great career and is world number one. He is not great on grass and was getting his grass handed to him yesterday before Dimitrov had to retire. He'll have another opportunity to get back to the semifinals, which I believe is the furthest he has gone at Wimbledon, with a victory tomorrow against Ben Shelton, and Sinner still a hefty favorite to do just that. Wow, a lot of tennis talk out of these guys to start off this third and final hour. It might continue after we hear from the people. Wimbledon, DRS, of course, is one of those staples of the sporting calendar each and every year. I have been there on a tour. It is immaculate, the premises and how they take care of those grass courts. So we wanted to hear from the people. Where would you want to go? Non-major men's professional sports leagues in North America. No NBA, NFL, MLB, NHL. If you could attend any sporting event, what would it be? That was the question to all of you in Fade the Public. At Sports Grid on Twitter, which non-major sporting event would you most like to attend? Wimbledon, Kentucky Derby, the Masters, or other? DRS, most of the public, more than 59% of the public, is saying the Masters right now. But our guy, Neil, at Hot Sauce is great with yet another fantastic reply. Even though I have attended the event, the Indy 500 is an event that should be attended in person to experience the magnitude of it. TV does not just do it justice. DRS, the Masters winning this vote. I voted for the Masters. It would be a dream of mine to be at Augusta National. Which way did you vote in the Fade the Public poll?
Yeah, I did vote for the Masters as well, because I just like historic events. And you said, well, Wimbledon's historic. Not really for me. The Kentucky Derby is historic, but not for me. But the Masters is something you grew up on watching year to year. You can basically walk that golf course in your mind without being there. And then just to see it like in public is phenomenal. Like, I'm always I'm a big historian, right? So I like to look at the old stadiums and been there, done that. Like, I can still remember, like, me being a Miami Hurricanes fan, the first time I actually walked up the stairs at the old Orange Bowl and was like, I've watched this place thousands of times. Yep. And I remember just sitting like 2 hours before Miami played Tennessee, which they lost. This was back in the Clawson days with the I'm a Soldier game. That was my first game I ever attended at the Orange Bowl. But I just sat there going, like, how many national championships were here? How many Super Bowls were here? Remembering like the good times and like what actually took place. Like, I love that stuff. And I think that would be able to do with the Masters, like where Jack made that big putt in the mid 1980s. So sort of that comeback on the back nine, where that Tiger chip in was, like, you could just imagine all those unbelievable events. Phil Mickelson winning his first major, jumping on the 18th green, and just looking at all the tradition that it has to be that you can remember. That's where it would fill in for me for the Masters. But if I'd like, I try, sort of think, like, instead of, like, my other, like, what would it be? Like, maybe, like, watching a Super Bowl that wouldn't entail the Eagles, so I can actually, like, enjoy, like, all it has, as opposed to just being completely stressed out of my mind for four straight hours. So that's something that I probably would look forward to going to.
Listen, we said no NFL, NBA, MLB, or NHL. If college sports are in the fold, I have never actually attended a Final Four. I would love to be there. I have never actually been to some of the great pantheons of our college football stadiums around this country. I would love to do a tour like that. I don't really have much of a desire to go to Wimbledon. I'm not the biggest tennis fan, but going on a tour with a class when I was studying abroad in London, that was pretty cool. Again, for me, it's going to the Masters. It's being at Augusta National. If I ever played Augusta National, I would lay on the 18th green and say, I am good. Take me now. We'll see if that ever happens, DRS. Maybe you and I will get to go together. But one of our favorite segments here, and one of the great things about Wimbledon, it's a star-studded affair. Athletes, celebrities, royals, former tennis royalty. Roger Federer was there yesterday, taking it all in from the royal suite. So was Spider-Man, Andrew Garfield. He was there taking in the festivities. DRS, fashion police. What do you make of the summer fit that Garfield was sporting at Wimbledon?
Yeah, I don't. I like the all whites, though. Like, I think there's something to that.
Gotta
like,
go all
know what? You get in there, you rock it out, you try to use it to your best. But let me understand this, too, about Wimbledon. And I've asked this question to people before. Like, buying a ticket, like, to center court, right? And let's just say you have great seats. I don't know. You're six rows up center court, like, on the net. I don't think I could watch that match, Ben. Like, I don't think, like, after 15 minutes, like, I don't know if my neck gives out or I'd just be like insane. Like, there's no way I could sit on the side of the court. I would have to be like, you know, facing the players where they're like serving. So I can just like, exactly. You can't, how do you do this for like 10 hours? What? No way. Couldn't do it.
I think it's a little bit dramatic, the idea of like this in a tennis match all the time. Like, I went to the U.S. Open last year. We sat dead smack in the middle. You have a pretty good vantage point. We were a little bit higher up, though, so that probably had aerial view.
Yeah.
But, you know, DRS, you've seen the commentator's box where they're at on center court. They're like perched
they're
in
like
this little porch.
They're in a bunker.
It's like, in that bunker. And they're like on a diagonal. It's a really cool looking spot, although it might not be the most glorious press box there is in sports. All right, enough of us talking about tennis. Kenny Ducey joins us up next to break down everything Wimbledon here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Extreme cold weather advisory in effect this morning.
You're a contractor. You have a contract.
All right, guys, come on. Let's do this.
A little snow and ice isn't stopping you. Not today, not any day. Shouldn't your flashing tape be working through it all, too? Only Frog Tape Pro-Grade Flashing Tape's high-performance acrylic adhesive sticks, re-sticks, and stays stuck, even on the roughest surfaces in rain, snow, heat, and more. So you stay in control when it matters most. Show weather who's boss with Frog Tape Pro-Grade Flashing Tape.
We'll break things down as we look at the championships Wimbledon here on this Tuesday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. DRS, I don't know a ton of tennis. Yeah. My lovely fiance, yeah. Chloe Durkin, outstanding tennis player in high school. What? Her family, ton of tennis fans. They have kind of taught me the game. Our producer extraordinaire, Joe Friso, a huge tennis guy. He has tried to infiltrate us with that information. I feel like I know more now about the game of tennis than I did maybe a year ago. One thing I do know about tennis from a betting perspective, man, the live wagers that you can get with a hefty favorite who drops a set or a few games and it's a little shaky because tennis is all about momentum, you can really find some great prices. Yesterday, Novak Djokovic trailed by one set early on, dropping the opening set in his matchup against, who was it? Now I'm blanking on the name. Alex de Minaur, the Australian, came all the way back to win, not even in five sets, took the next three in a row. When we were on the show, DRS, a minus 150 price, I used a 30% profit boost on a sports book that shall not be named, and I cashed that ticket. Pretty good live betting opportunities. Ben Shelton trailing early. He won his round of 16 match in four sets. Taylor Fritz is up 2-1. And as we shared moments ago, he was trailing by two games in the fourth set. And yet this is the set that he could win the entire match and advance to the semifinals with. And he was still a minus 185 price. You can get some pretty good live numbers on those guys and on these matches, both in the men's and the women's draws at Wimbledon.
Yeah, exactly. You use that NBA motto. It's like, hey, man, we're favored by 9.5 points. Wait, we're down 13 in the first quarter. Boom, bang around on that, you know, underdog price that you can get. And it's like, you know what? We might be able to make some money on this thing, just getting a decompressed number early on in those events. And the same thing obviously works here with tennis.
No doubt about it, DRS. And right now, the one seed in the women's draw in the hefty minus money favorite, Aryna Sabalenka, who dropped her opening set, is now responding in the second set. But she was a hefty favorite this morning to get to the semis. That live price now around minus 300. Yep. Enough of DRS and myself babbling about tennis. Kenny Ducey from Action Network joins us here to break everything down around the championships. Wimbledon, Kenny, we appreciate the time. Thanks for being here on this Tuesday.
I can fill in if you want. We are having some technical difficulties.
Let's go back to you then, DRS. As of Tuesday morning.
I know what he said. I know what he said.
Please.
It's a pleasure to be on with Donnie Wright. Ben, yeah, exactly. Not really sure who Ben is, but Donnie certainly knows his tennis here. Two guys talking tennis. That's what we want out of this segment here. I think that's exactly what he said.
Did Kenny come on and say, is that the guy that called L.A. Tinkletown?
Yes.
I don't really want to respond to him. Yep. Please direct all questions from Donnie Wrightside toward me. Carlos Alcaraz today, DRS, plays a little bit later on center court against the Brit in the lefty Cam Norrie. He is a hefty favorite in that match at minus 2,100 for Carlitos, who has won the last two Wimbledons and those Grand Slam titles. And, of course, rallied to beat Yannick Sinner in Paris in dramatic fashion in five sets. Alcaraz is Sinner has not looked great here at Wimbledon. And, of course, yesterday was trailing 2-0.
Yeah.
And because of the medical retirement of Grigor Dimitrov, does advance to the quarterfinals. Because of what we have seen, Alcaraz now a minus money favorite at minus 110 to win the entirety of that men's championship.
Yeah, by the way, you take a look yesterday, Ben. I think you dipped in on Djokovic, right? Being down early here, took a little bit of a boost there, knocked it down, easy winner. Because I think it was straight sets all the way out for Novak Djokovic.
Yeah.
But I think you're right on Jannik Sinner here, because you could take it two ways. Like, he got lucky, that was his off day, and now he's better for it. But if you're playing not so well against that player, which we're not knocking guys. Like, anytime you win a couple rounds at Wimbledon, you're certainly a good tennis player. But what happens if you face Djokovic? What happens if you face Alcaraz? Is this just a sign of things to come? Or, hey, man, just didn't have it. This guy was killing me out here. Now it'd be nice just to hit some volleys in the next day or two before I get back out there and I'll be straight again. Those are always the issues.
Yeah, it really is the point, DRS. Does Jannik Sinner take it as an opportunity to roll on after avoiding what could have been disaster in the round of 16? And does he use it as that inspiration? Do we have Kenny Doocy? Kenny, are you here?
I think you also guessed exactly correctly what I said earlier.
Yes. See that?
That was fantastic.
I'm a lip reader right there, Ben.
Well, then I can't direct any of the questions. It has to be from Donnie Wright's side. So DRS, fire away for Kenny, because we have a couple of minutes here to break down Wimbledon.
Kenny, we got plenty of time to talk about Alcaraz and Djokovic, but as always at Wimbledon, where are the Americans stand here? It's Ben Shelton, it's Taylor Fritz. Let me know how they're playing, how they got this far, and is there any chance they could wind up in a final?
Yeah, well, first of all, I'll try to be a little more unpredictable so you can't guess what I'm going to say, because rarely people guess what I'm going to say next. But yes, I do think that Ben Shelton's got a very good the Kultivaka, as the on-court interviewer yesterday called him. I think he's got a pretty good chance to win this tournament, I'm not going to lie. I mean, I think, look, Jannik Sinner is a very tough task to come up against, but he's certainly beaten Jannik Sinner before. This was against, of course, right before Jannik Sinner really rose to prominence, became the number one player in the world. But he looks really good on these courts with his big serve on these really slick surfaces. He's going to be a really, really tough test. Taylor Fritz was rolling today against Karen Khachanov before he just got steamrolled in that third set. Not really sure what he's doing there, but this is a guy that played a bunch of tennis right before Wimbledon, and Taylor Fritz comes out, plays 2 5-setters. He's absolutely grinded out, you know, 3 or 4 matches in a row. And he had a really, really tough draw. And I think everyone, especially the market, was really sour on Taylor Fritz because he was struggling so heavily to get through these matches. Giovanni Impeci Pericard, very big serve, very good player. Davidovich Fokina, even in the third round. Like, now he's finally, the Karen Khachanov match, Karen Khachanov's maybe a top 15 player. This might be his easiest match that he's had all tournament, which is crazy. So I think the Americans actually look really good here. They're on opposite ends of the draw. They're going to have to, obviously, one of them, or both of them, are going to have to face the top two players in the world, but we'll have to see what ends up happening here with either. I think Shelton is in a really good position, though, unlike Fritz is as well, but I think Shelton, to me, it's going to be a younger guy that's going to be around the age of Sinner and Alcaraz that's going to have the fearlessness to come up against him. I think it could be Shelton.
Fritz rallying, though, in this fourth set, trying to finish out this bid to the semifinals at Wimbledon. Now leads 4-3 in that fourth set. As Kenny was mentioning, it's world number one for the young Ben Shelton. He's a plus 315 underdog in tomorrow's quarterfinal action. Kenny, you might stick around so we could ask you about the women's side of things over at the All England Club. We'd appreciate that. Plenty more to come on TEL next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Wayfair's Black Friday and July sale is almost here. Starting July 24th, score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair, plus amazing doorbuster deals and free shipping site-wide. Shop the sale at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile. And you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Kenny Ducey still here with us quickly from Action Network, looking at the women's draw at the Wimbledon Championships that we have. And the odds-on favorite, Kenny, entering today on this Tuesday, Aryna Sabalenka on the court right now, dropped the opening set, but is rallying in set number 2, a minus 400 live favorite. You see the odds entering today at minus 170. What do you make of the odds to win the women's title at Wimbledon?
Look, I mean, I think Sabalenka's losing her mind a little bit out there today. I'm not really sure what's happening. Laura Sigeman is a very difficult player to play. She plays very unorthodox. She hits some drop shots. You know, she plays really defensive game. But I think that, to me, when we're looking at these odds, Iga Swiatek cannot be ignored here at 4, nearly 5 to 1. I think she's really learned how to play grass court tennis. If you look at her run here at Wimbledon, it's been very, very impressive. And she's really proven that she can take this style of tennis that helps her on hard courts and clay courts with a lot of topspin and make it work on grass, which a lot of people said could not happen. She's only dropped one set at the championships. Last match against Clara Towson fell into a little bit of an early hole, but she's been able to come back and dig herself out of these holes. And again, I think this is a situation where, you know, she's managed to play well on grass now. I don't think it's something we can ignore. 16-3 over the last 3 seasons. We know that this is not her preferred surface, but I do think she looks really, really good. She's got a pretty good draw in front of her. Ludmila Samsonova, she's beaten 4 times out of 4. And then in the round after that, you're going to get a tired Belinda Bencic or Mira Andreeva, who seems to fall apart at this stage of the tournament every single time we see her at a Grand Slam. She's going to win one day, but she does fall apart. So anyway, with that, when that's all said and done, I think we've seen Sabalenka kind of playing with her food a few times at this tournament so far. She still should be the favorite, but I think if you're looking for anyone else to believe in, Swiatek's a pretty good bet.
Yeah, Swiatek minus 280 tomorrow in her quarterfinal match. The youngster Mira Andreeva yesterday dismantling the American Emma Navarro to get to the quarters. She could be standing in the way as well. Kenny Ducey, we appreciate the time, man. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday here and all the action at Wimbledon.
Great to be with you, fellas. And I'm sorry to tease you with me being on mute. I'm sure that would have been better for everybody at the beginning of the show. Hopefully we'll get back on mute next time I'm on.
Yeah, listen, we'll just let Donnie continue to speak for you whenever he has the chance. Kenny, thanks so much, man. Enjoy the rest of your day. All right, DRS, now to your area of expertise, my friend, from the brilliant baseball mind of Donnie Wrightside. Let's get ready for some Major League Baseball breakdowns, a full slate Tuesday card here around the bigs. We start in Baltimore inside Camden Yards. The New York Mets and Clay Holmes, a minus 130 favorite against the O's. Total today, hot one, 9.5. Let's start there, DRS. 9.5 is that total. The over has the juice at minus 124. Are we going to see some offense tonight inside Camden Yards?
Maybe so. You take a look at, you know, I'm dating back to May the 1st here. So when that warmer weather starts to kick in, you take a look at Clay Holmes, a 111 xFIP minus, which is above average, a decent ERA at 3.16, but also that 4.52 xFIP number could get him in trouble. 83 degrees today with a little bit of rain in the forecast down there in Baltimore. So keep an eye on that. But the one thing I do like is the Baltimore bats seem to stack up well. On the last 30 days, Clay Holmes has really been good against right-handed batters. So the focus will be lefties. Holiday, Henderson, O'Hearn, Kowalczyk, and also Mullins. There is some power in that lineup that can get down. But if we flip it to the Mets, I like this lineup. I like the power surge of this lineup. Brandon Young is due to start, who on the season has only faced 79 batters. Then a 209 ISO and a 413 weighted on base percentage and not a high K rate here. Nimmo, Lindor, Soto, McNeil, and Beatty all have really good numbers against right-handed pitching. I do think we get runs down at Camden Yards today, and that might be the best way to play this game.
Again, the Mets playing much better baseball. At the end of June, they were awful, 3-13 to end out that month. They dropped their opening game of July. They won 4 straight into the series finale in the Subway Series on Sunday against the Yanks. Only a game and a half back right now of the Philadelphia Phillies are just a full game after the Phils dropped one yesterday in San Francisco. Quickly here, DRS, the Rays up in Detroit against the Tigers. Best record in baseball, that is Detroit. Yesterday, a pick'em price because Keiter Montero got the start for the Tigers. He was great today. Detroit, a favorite with Jack Flaherty on the bump. Will the Tigers continue to add to their Major League Baseball best 58 wins today?
Boy, it's hard to go against them. But again, you're looking at that price point, a plus 100 number on maybe the better pitcher on the mound is Ryan Pepiot, 93 xFIP minus a 290 ERA. That's over the past 60 plus days. Where you take a look at Flaherty, who's been okay as well, a 95 xFIP minus, but how about a 5.68 ERA? The bats just weren't alive yesterday for Tampa. Maybe they come alive today, but I'll take a swing again. Give me Tampa at a plus money number today, and we'll leave it there.
Total is 8 in the Motor City. Plenty more baseball breakdown from that brilliant baseball mind. Yeah.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The hottest team in baseball, that's the Toronto Blue Jays. They have won 9 consecutive games. They have opened up a 3.5 game lead atop the American League East. You okay? Toronto coughing you up. You said Toronto too many times in the break. Yeah, get a sip of water. Ooh, get ready to go. Because we need you to tell us, DRS. With a minus 196 price on Chris Bassitt and the boys on the south side against Aaron Civale and the White Sox, if it will be 10 wins in a row for the Blue Jays, that minus 180 price is now closer to 2 bills. 8.5 is that game total. Will the Blue Jays make 10 consecutive victories today?
I think they will. And Aaron Civale's on the mound. He's going to be a big part of that, people. You take a look at Aaron Civale's last 118 batters he faced, Ben. A 196 ISO, a 360 weighted on base percentage. On the season, 190 total batters faced for Civale. It's a 213 and a 213 ISO, excuse me, and a weighted on base percentage of 360. Really struggles with right-handed batters. You're going to get a lot of power batters from the right-hand side. But also, on the card today, if we do date it back, let's just say 60 days in Major League Baseball, 29 pitchers on the card today that have at least 10 innings pitched. Civale is 28th out of 29. Now, if we take a look at his ERA, you might say, hey, it's not that bad, 3.83. His xFIP minus is a 128. His xFIP number is a 5.21. All of that in the danger zone. Now, let's focus on the at-bats here for Toronto, what we anticipate today. Last 30 days, Lukes, Springer, Vladdy Jr., Barger, Kirk, and Wagner, all of those guys, extremely high weighted on base percentages here. And you take a look at the K rates here, only one guy, that's Barger, with a 26.9% K rate to righties, but he makes up for that in the power statistics. Everybody else doesn't strike out. It's a lineup against right-handed pitchers that also walks a ton. It should be the perfect recipe for success and another victory today for Toronto. 82-degree temperatures, wind blowing out the left field. What's not to like about Toronto today?
Yeah, how could you not, DRS? 8 runs yesterday for the Blue Jays. Nathan Lucas, we had Joey Leperfido out there hitting home runs. Everybody was doing well for the Jays, who have won 9 straight, hoping to make it 10 in a row today. The Cubbies had the day off yesterday. Now on a road trip to Minneapolis to take on the Twins. Shota Imanaga gets the start today for Craig Counsell and Chicago, minus 134. That money line price in favor of the Cubs. It's working back ever so slightly to the home team. Total stands at 9. What do you like today in the Twin Cities?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, too, because you take a look from a Cubs perspective. Hey, Shota Imanaga's back, and I think he's only had 16 innings pitched over the past 60 days with that IL stint, and it hasn't been all that great for him. Not doing very well, not a lot of strikeouts. And by the way, you take a look at that lineup for the Minnesota Twins. Usually teams don't hit lefties all that well. That's not the case. Carlos Correa is struggling, as well as Christian Vasquez, only 11 at-bats against left-handed pitching over the past month. But the rest of that lineup, Buxton, you take a look at Jeffers, and Castro, and France, and Bader, and Lee, and Lewis, all really good statistics against left-handed pitching, which is a great sign. Let's flip it over to the other side with Simeon Woods Richardson, one of those guys who's usually on my fade list. 26 out of 29 pitchers on the card today with a 122 xFIP minus and a 4.62 ERA and an xFIP of 4.99, which is in the danger territory, which you don't want to be against the Cubbies with Happ, Tucker, Suzuki, PCA, Bush, and Kelly, all with really high ISOs and weighted on base percentages over the past month against right-handed pitching. 79-degree temperatures, you love to see that at Minnesota and a wind blowing out to right field. We should be getting runs. Both lineups look really good today against some pitchers you might be able to get to.
Yeah, so DRS, it's a really good spot for Chicago. There is no doubt. You told us earlier, though, in the show, your Phils last night losing 3-1. Yeah. Christopher Sanchez was great against the Giants. Yep. San Francisco scoring all three of the runs, technically on what was ruled a fielder's choice. The Giants win 3-1. Tonight, San Francisco sends out Robbie Ray against the Phils. Total is 8. Can we expect another low-scoring affair by the Bay?
If you're a contrarian player, you say, I'm just going to take the Phillies at a plus 132 price. I can't fault you for doing that, but that's just a contrarian look. But understanding how the Phillies operate on a day-to-day basis, a left-handed pitcher that usually gets strikeouts, that's just absolute kryptonite to the Philadelphia Phillies. You look at their lineup. Schwarber has been very good against lefties. Alec Bohm has been very good against lefties. Castellanos, a little bit of a power surge there, and then Edmund Sosa has been decent. The rest of that lineup doesn't do much at all. So I look at Robbie Ray's last 60 days in Major League Baseball. In 82 xFIP minus, above average, an ERA of 2.25, an xFIP of 3.30. Like, I love the Phillies, and they should be able to hit guys like Robbie Ray, but they just don't do that. It's the perfect pitcher's ballpark, as well as we know, out in San Francisco. And if we're looking at the temperatures, it's cool. 64 degrees at first pitch at, you know, 645 out there on the West Coast. That'll dip down probably into the high 50s, normal wind blowing out the center field, as it always does. And it's not even a handicap against the Phillies. Like, Taijuan Walker's not a good pitcher. That San Francisco Giants lineup isn't really good hitting lineup, but let's just be honest. A left-handed pitcher that can get strikeouts against the Phillies, checkmate San Francisco. Taijuan Walker versus anybody, checkmate anybody versus Taijuan Walker. That's the way I see it. I don't know if I want to lay the price, but to be honest, I just don't think runs are coming from the Philly side unless we're getting a 7-2 finish, which gives you the over because San Francisco hammered Taijuan Walker. I love the under. It was floating around 8 at multiple books today. You see the 7.5. If you can get 8, which means 9 it takes to beat you, that ain't happening. That's not happening tonight.
I currently see it at 8 on a sports book that shall not be named, and the Giants are a pretty hefty favorite, greater than $1.50 price. By the way, did you see the other game in Northern California today and who gets the start for a certain Atlanta Braves? That'd be a party out in Sacramento.
Sounds like Tinkletown. Tinkletown, Sacramento, man.
Tinkletown, California's capital. If I'm not going to say anything else, but Didier Fuentes gets the start today for the Braves against the Athletics. Let's keep it, though, in the National League West. That divisional duel continues this week in San Diego between the Padres and the Diamondbacks. DRS, we weren't exactly sure what we were going to get out of Yu Darvish in his 2025 debut yesterday for the Pods. Gave up 2 earned and 3 2/3 when he left the game. It wasn't like the D-backs were slaughtering San Diego, but they did win 6-3. We have a better idea out of what we are getting today from Nick pitching Pivetta, the starter for San Diego. Total 7.5. Merrill Kelly gets the nod for the Snakes on the other side. Minus 130 that price in favor of the Padres. What's the play at Petco?
But I got to tell you, this is an interesting one because here's how we explain it. You take a look over the past 2 months here, Nick Pivetta's xFIP minus, which is 88, an xFIP number of 3.55. You love to see that. You take a look at Merrill Kelly, who's even better. How about a 75 xFIP minus and a 3 xFIP? Like, boy, that's a stone cold under. You're in San Diego. That's typically an under ballpark. But let me explain to you what these offenses have been doing against these respective pitchers who are right-handed batters. You look at the last 30 days for Arizona, and let's just say Ketel Marte is back in the lineup after being scratched yesterday. That's 7 out of 9 batters plus in weighted on base percentage and ISO power numbers against right-handed pitching over the past 30 days. You take a look at here at San Diego's lineup, which technically I don't like all that much. And Merrill Kelly has been a good pitcher, struggling a little bit against lefties over the past month. But you have, again, 7 of the 9 batters here with weighted on base percentages at a plus number against Merrill Kelly. So you have 2 good pitchers xFIP-wise in a pitcher's ballpark, but 2 lineups that absolutely love to slug right-handed pitching. That's a hard handicap it is. Usually pitching actually will wear that out, but I got to tell you, if every batter in the lineup is getting solid swings, hey, why not an over? Why can't we get another one?
7.5 in San Diego. Maybe we will be able to creep over. The Padres, by the way, DRS, who got off to such a great start this year. They were perfect at home, I think 11 or 12-0 to begin this season. Many games above 500, 35 and 24 on June 3rd. 11 games above 500, 13-18 since. If the season ended today, the Padres, despite having the fifth best price to win the National League pennant, would not be in the postseason in the NL, a full game behind their divisional mates, that being the San Francisco Giants. Again, that series continues this week in San Diego, a four-game set between the D-backs and the Padres. We'll talk about the team that leads the National League West, as they have often done the last decade plus. That is the LA Dodgers. And can they bounce back and snap a four-game skid? It's the vet versus the rook in Milwaukee. That's next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
We continue our baseball breakdowns on this full slate Tuesday in the bigs. That means 15 games, all 30 clubs in action, exactly 1 week away from our All-Star game in Atlanta. Five more days until the All-Star break officially begins at the end of Sunday's tilts all around MLB. DRS, the Dodgers, now losers of four consecutive games, though the second best record in Major League Baseball, but trailing the Tigers for that distinction by two games. Still the best record in all of the National League. Clayton Kershaw in his most recent start, making history in Los Angeles at Chavez Ravine with his final pitch, pitch number 100 of his outing in the top of the sixth against the Chicago White Sox. Last week, he struck out Vinny Capra looking for career K 3,000. You literally said, and I don't know if you knew, the Dodgers were playing in Milwaukee this week. You got to leave him out there. What is he going to do it in Milwaukee in front of the crowd of the Brewers? Well, that next start for Clayton Kershaw comes in Milwaukee against Big Miz, the rookie flamethrower for Milwaukee, that being Jacob Mizorowski. The veteran gets a little bit of the respect, minus 126. His Dodgers, the road money line favorites, 8.5. The total, DRS, the rookie versus the vet, who wins the day in Milwaukee?
Now, coming from, like, Kershaw, who lives in Tinkletown, and the highlight is Ken Kershaw break
maybe
the seal.
Maybe that's in my head.
That just fits right in line at this point. But understand this. The Miz was miserable in his last start against the New York Mets, but now he gets a chance to take on the Dodgers, who are slipping right now. The one thing, if you look at the short appearances here that Jacob Mizorowski's had, only 74 batters faced. Electric against right-handed batters, not so much against lefties. Now, in this lineup, you say, you know what? There is one lefty you got to be careful with. It's Shohei Ohtani. But the rest of the lineup, lefty-wise, Michael Conforto's having a decent season in the last 30 days, I should say, against right-handed pitching. The rest of the lineup, though, just from those left-handed bats, not really all that enticing. And you take a look at, you know, do you fade Clayton Kershaw, who maybe got left out there a little bit longer, huge milestone night. Hey, let me sit back in and soak that in before I get to my next mound appearance, which will be on the road. Maybe you get a deflated performance here out of Clayton Kershaw and a chance to jump on them once again for the Milwaukee Brewers. Again, bouncing back for young rookie pitchers is interesting because he got hammered against a quality lineup on the road against New York. Now, he is back home for the Miz. We'll see what he does. But that's a good lineup for the Dodgers. But it doesn't really give me that eye shot where it's like, hey, you know what?
Yeah.
I really think, like, let's just say if the Miz was struggling against right-handed batters and they're throwing eight right-handed batters at him, like, ooh, this might be tough. I think it's a good bounce-back spot. And you know what? I'm going to go ahead and take that plus 108 price here with a young pitcher that they haven't seen yet for the Dodgers. And maybe it works in their direction. So let's go. Brew Crew.
That'd be five straight L's for L.A. What a day for Tinkletown. Can Kershaw break the seal and snap that four-game slide for L.A.? Let's go directly to Tinkletown, or as I would say, Tinkletown adjacent. That would be Anaheim, where the Rangers and the Angels square off tonight. Nathan Eovaldi on the bump for Texas, for the Angels, who won the opening game of this set in walk-off, I mean literally walk-off fashion, bases juiced last night, and a walk to Nolan Shanwell at the plate. The Angels take the opener. 8.5 is that total. The Rangers issue DRS has been hitting. Pitching not as much. What will we see out of Eovaldi today for Texas trying to even up this midweek set against their divisional mate?
Hopefully something good. And you take a look at the 8, and immediately my thoughts are, oh, 8, they got two pretty good lineups here. Specifically, the Rangers are really hitting right-handed pitching, but that's not the case here. I mean, if you haven't heard of Jose Soriano, take a look at his last 60 days. He's got an 80 xFIP minus, which is great, an ERA of 3.34, but an xFIP number of 3.30. And take a look at some other statistics. His last 126 batters, Ben, an 0.70 ISO against. If you extend that to a full season, which is 444 batters, that's a great sample size, an 0.67 ISO, which means nobody gets extra base hits. And you know, in Major League Base, where you have a strikeout pitcher and you're not getting extra base hits, good luck getting a walk out of the guy who doesn't walk very many batters, and then 2 to 3 singles to try to knock in a run. It's not happening. So just from that, Eovaldi, with we know he can be top end really good, and Soriano, who has been very good, I got to go under in this game. I don't think we see 9 because those two starting pitchers should be able to handle those lineups today.
Yeah, I like the look, DRS. Yesterday, we got 6-5. Texas, though, has played a majority of their games to the unders so far this year. Eovaldi, by the way, who has been sensational this season, missed about a month from the end of May to the end of June, has returned in 2 starts. He has worked about 8 innings in total. His most recent, last Wednesday against the O's, 5 innings of shutout baseball, only 2 base knocks, striking out 5. He is 5-3 this year with a 1.75 ERA. He is not qualified for the amount of minimum innings he needs to be among the leaders in MLB, but that would be the best ERA at a 1.75 if Eovaldi was in fact qualified. DRS, the Yankees trying to turn this season around. It's not drastic, but they're now trailing by 3.5 games in the American League East. They did snap their 6-game slide on Sunday to avoid a sweep in the Subway Series against the New York Mets. The Yankees return from Queens to the Bronx to host the Seattle Mariners, minus 132, that price in favor of the Pinstripes at home. Total is 9. The M's swept the Pirates over the weekend at home, now make the cross-country journey. Not just a matchup of these two squads, but a matchup, of course, of our two guys leading the home run race this year. Big dumper Cal Raleigh has 35. Aaron Judge has 33. What will we see tonight in the Bronx?
If you just want to look at analytics, you should be back in Logan Gilbert, number 1 on the card today overall. And this guy's an ERA of close to 5. Donnie, how could he be the best pitcher on the card? Well, theoretically, he doesn't walk players. He strikes them out at an extremely high rate. That's usually what gets you out of situations like, oh, second and third, one out here. You avoid contact. You avoid getting a run home with a positive out. Or should I say a quality of bat appearance. ISO power, weighted on base percentage is high against Gilbert. Again, that strikeout rate, 35% over the past month. If you just look at left-handed batters, 43% strikeout rate, which is absolutely incredible. Lefties in the lineup, Grisham, Rice, Bellinger, Chisholm, Wells. Like, I look at this and say to myself, like, yes, the Yankees probably should be a favorite, but I got to tell you, with Gilbert on the mound, I'm looking at that plus 104 price and saying, let me just be a sneaky dog here with an ERA of a really high pitcher, but a great analytical pitcher. I'll trust the analytics tonight. How about that?
Come on, DRS. And the Yanks have been really poor in terms of winning games. Yeah. By the way, big dumper Cal Raleigh, plus 190 to go yard. Aaron Judge, plus 215. It is drastically hot. Mm. Drastically hot in New York City today and very, very humid. DRS, enjoy Moneyline, my friend. We'll wrap up the show here up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
We have told you often that this month of July is a football month. Are you crazy, dude? It's still summer. It was just 4th of July weekend. Let me enjoy the beach. Let me enjoy the pool. Let me enjoy the backyard before I have to, in a good way, not begrudgingly, but in a good way, sit on my couch for 12 hours each and every Saturday and Sunday throughout the entirety of the fall. But it's a football month, and that intensifies today in Arlington, where Big 12 Media Days begins. It is a two-day event inside AT&T Stadium as the Big 12 Conference gets ready to kick off the 2025 campaign. Again, Media Days today and tomorrow in Arlington. We'll hear from head coaches, players of some of the best programs in this highly competitive conference. Brett Yormark is the commissioner of the Big 12. I believe he is embarking on year number three. Last year, he made some headway when at the beginning of Big 12 Media Days, he said, "We are the most competitive conference in the country." People said, "Are you kidding, Brett? Listen, we understand grandstanding for your own league, but the Big 10, the SEC, heck, the ACC are better conferences." But what I took from Yormark was not we're better, or the best, or the most elite conference in college football, we're the most competitive. And I think it's hard to knock what Yormark did say. The Big 12 is up in the air, and the race to a conference championship is going to be highly competitive and perhaps even chaotic once again. It certainly was last year when Arizona State was picked to finish dead last in year number two under Kenny Dillingham in Tempe. And what did ASU do? Surprise everybody to win a conference championship and reach the college football playoff. And in that quarterfinal game in the Peach Bowl, they led late in the fourth quarter. We won't talk about the targeting penalty. And of course, they lost in double overtime against Texas, pulling off what would have been maybe the biggest upset in CFP history, but I think Arizona State proved to all they were a worthy champion of the Big 12 and a college football playoff team. Really the only game out of our opening two rounds that saw a level of competition for the underdog, keeping things close and tightly contested. So what is Arizona State going to do once again? Well, we all know that your favorite running back's favorite running back, Cam Scataboo, now plays for the New York Giants. So there's got to be a fall off for the Sun Devils, right? Wrong. The Sun Devils returned the second most production in college football, only behind Clemson. And who was most important when you talk returners? That would be a starting quarterback. Welcome back, Sam Levitt, to the desert in Tempe. The Big 12 preseason offensive player of the year pick before Big 12 Media Days began. That was yesterday. ASU returned so much talent up front, and Sam Levitt has Jordan Tyson back, who did not play in the Big 12 title game, nor the college football playoff for ASU, his top target and wide receiver. Arizona State is loaded. And when I say highly competitive and perhaps chaotic, don't just take my word for it. Let's look at those conference championship odds now around the Big 12. You see a three-way tie for the favorites to win this conference. That's K-State, Utah, and Arizona State, all at a 6-1 number. You see Baylor and Texas Tech round out the top five, but only a half buck behind those three co-favorites at plus 650. The Bears should be great. Sawyer Robertson is back at the quarterback spot. Bryson Washington, an all Big 12 offensive pick alongside him in the backfield. And Dave Aranda, known for his defense, should be good in Waco this year. Texas Tech, if you haven't been paying attention to collegiate athletics, ooh, that oil money in West Texas is paying dividends. They have invested in their athletic department. They have invested in their football program. They have the best transfer portal class in the country in 2025, led up front by a couple of impactful defensive transfers. David Bailey along that D-line from Stanford, now playing in Lubbock. Lee Hunter leaves UCF within the conference and will anchor the interior of that D-line for Joey McGuire as well. Baron Morton is back at the quarterback spot. A lot to like with the Red Raiders. TCU should be reloaded. Iowa State returns their quarterback in Rocco Becht, although they do lose their two leading pass catchers, Jaden Higgins and Jalen Knoll. Jalen Daniels back in Lawrence. BYU a changeup at the quarterback spot, it would appear, with Jake Retzlaff. We will hear from Kalani Sitake today, the head coach of the Cougs. BYU in this conference, the Big 12 in general, you see how competitive it is going to be. Six teams at a 10-1 price or shorter. Make it seven teams at a 10-1 price or shorter to contend for that conference crown. That does it for the Early Line on this Tuesday. We'll talk to you tomorrow on a Wednesday, starting at 8 a.m. Eastern here on Sportsbook.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.